Today on episode number 362 of the School of Podcasting's morning announcements, which you can find by going to schoolofpodcasting.com/362, we're going to talk a little Stitcher news, and then I've got an interview that is just so wow. You want to know how much somebody that is making a living from their podcast, how much they charge for advertising? Want to know how many downloads they have? Want to know how much time it takes? That's right. John Lee Dumas, the man from Entrepreneur on Fire. I asked him to put one card on the table. He threw the whole deck.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005. I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson. Thanking you so much for tuning in. If you're new to the show, look, we talk about all things podcasting, from planning to recording to promoting to producing, all points in between. And then what I do is I bring my 20 plus years of technical training to the table, try to make it a little entertaining, try to make it a little fun, try to make it a little weird at times. That's what I do. I'm a little weird. And if you're new to the show, do me a favor, hang with me through the whole episode. In fact, listen to two more after this one. And I'm pretty sure after three episodes, you'll either get me or you'll just hate me. So sometimes I'm a little bit of an acquired taste, and that's all I ask. I realize if you just met me, you're like, who is this guy? Just hang with me just a little longer, and I think I'll grow on you. And the way I do this show is we jump right into it, and I want to have you in on the conversation. So to get you in on the conversation, there's a lot of ways that you can do this. You can email me. It's Dave at schoolofpodcasting.com. You can call in your comments. It's 888-563-3228. You can, if you got a microphone plugged into an iPad or a computer, there's actually a voicemail button out at the website. And you can just leave a comment on the blog. And all that is out at schoolofpodcasting.com. And today, we're going to start off with some Stitcher news. And again, as I get into this, if you're brand new, I'm thinking about the brand new person. I'm thinking about you, if that's you. And I want to let you know that the way I do this, I do the show in segments. And about a minute before the segment is over, I'll start putting in some music. And so if you're like, I don't know what a Stitcher is, could care less, that's all right. Just fast forward when you hear the music. That'll take you up to our next segment. Now, what is Stitcher? Stitcher is one of the reasons that podcasting is, again, booming. It's blowing up. Because some people are like, ah, that whole podcasting thing, I got to download them and I've got to synchronize and all that stuff. Nope, not with Stitcher. It's an app for your smartphone, for your iPad, for your you name it. There's even a desktop version. And in fact, if you want to check out the app, go over to stitcher.com/Dave J. That again, stitcher.com/Dave J. And I'll put links to this, everything I mentioned, you can find in the show notes, and that's out at schoolofpodcasting.com/362. Now, back in the day, gather around, children, and I will tell you, it used to be you would check your stats in your media host, whether that be Libsyn, Blueberry, whatever you're using. You need a media host. We've talked about that in the past. But you would go in, and then when Stitcher came, you're like, oh, cool, and you would submit your podcast to Stitcher. And what happens is they download one episode, you know, one copy of your episode, I should say, one copy of your episode, and they kind of do some tweaking of it so it's easy to stream. And then every time somebody goes to listen to that episode, they don't go to my website. Stitcher has a copy of it. Well, that was kind of cool, but that meant that I wasn't really positive how many people were listening unless I looked at my Libsyn or Blueberry stats to see all my downloads. And then I have to go look at the Stitcher streams to see how many times somebody listened on their phone. Well, now Stitcher has set it up so that when somebody listens on their phone, their iPad, their desktop, whatever it is, if they listen to an episode, they're going to go back and kind of notify your host that, hey, somebody is a listen. So now when I log into Blueberry, when I log into Libsyn or whoever, I'm going to see all of my stats in one place. I won't have to say, oh, I've got to check Libsyn and Stitcher. They'll all be in one place. So this is kind of cool, and it's something that I'm very excited about. One of the things I'm going to be talking about in the future, I have a couple episodes that are coming up. One is going to be how much time it actually takes to do a podcast. And what I'm going to do is
just hyper manage myself when I do an episode. And because I've always said it's a 4-to-1 ratio. If you want to do a 1-minute podcast, it's going to take you 4 minutes. And I'm just going to explain, what do I do to make a podcast? So that's going to come up in the future. Next week, I'm going to be talking with Jim Cullison about some of the stats that you can get from Google Analytics. And then we're going to be talking about, along with this stats and things, is talking about, what if I want to make a media kit for my podcast? Those are coming up in the future, some things you can add to that. And one of the things I like about this, by having all of our stats in one, more or less, one area, it's going to be easier when people want to know about your audience to say, here's how many downloads I get. Here's how many listeners. I guess it's probably a better way of saying that. Here's how many listeners I get per episode. So I'm excited about that. There are already these different networks popping up. Podcast One, there's Vox Media is another one, I believe. There's a bunch of different ones. Earwolf is one that's popped up for comedians. The Mid-Roll is another one. There are all these different networks popping up that are going to try to connect you with advertisers. There's already companies like Blueberry. We mentioned in the interview with John today, some other ones. Blueberry has always been around, and they don't really care what size your audience is. They will pay you typically a CPM, which means cost per thousands of downloads. So if you, let's just throw a number out there. Let's say it was $20 or whatever, $20 per thousand downloads, and you had a podcast that every week got 250 downloads. At the end of the month, you would get a check for $20 because it'd be 1,000 downloads. So there have always been companies for that, and we'll be talking about that here in the future with John. And but I'm excited about this. I'm starting to see companies work together to enable podcasters to get a better idea of who and how and what is consuming their podcast. Next up, just want to give a quick shout out to my buddy, Marcus Couch. Now, if you're a regular listener to the show, Marcus and I go way back to the early days of podcasting, of Mevio, and he has talked me off many a ledge. And I just wanted to show you that here again, you're going to listen to John's interview in just a second, but here again is somebody who just busted his butt on a daily basis, and over time has worked his way into kind of the WordPress community. And now Marcus Couch will be writing a daily post on the official WordPress Planet feed. Now, what does that mean? It means his posts will be right in the dashboard of everyone who uses WordPress. He kind of jokingly says, whether you like it or not. So congrats to Marcus Couch. You can find him at MarcusCouch.com. He does a couple different podcasts. He does the Scene Zine. He also does, I've talked to him about him in the past. He does a podcast on WordPress again with his buddy John over at WordPress A2Z. And I'll put a link to that out in the show notes again. But congratulations to Marcus. And here again, I'm sure some of that had to go into play because Marcus was on a podcast. He was on episode number 332, where he talked about the best SEO, meaning search engine optimization, because he's a bit of an SEO expert, is to just create good content. And Marcus has been doing that for years, and now it's paid off. So congratulations to my buddy, Marcus Couch. You deserve it. All right, next up, I am going to listen along with you to an interview of John Dumas. Now, John, I'll introduce him here in a second when I play it, but this is just, there's some really cool things about this interview. So consequently, and I hope it's not annoying, I'm going to play this interview and along with you. So where usually it's kind of like, hey, here's the interview, enjoy. No, I'm going to sit right here with you and listen along. So here we go with my interview with John Dumas of EntrepreneurOnFire.com or EOFire.com. Well, joining me via Skype, I am very honored to have John Dumas with us. Let me tell you a little bit about his podcast. I was just on it a little while back and had a great time. And I said, wow, John, you got to come on the show. But he does. I want to stop it right there. My episode will air sometime in July. So if you're looking for my interview On his show, it hasn't actually aired yet. Entrepreneur on Fire, which is very apropos because John has come out of the gate on fire. It's a daily podcast. So right there, daily podcast. You just know that he's insane, right? But he's interviewing today's really most successful and inspiring, which is a key word here, entrepreneurs. He launched all the way back in 2012. So he's just a little over a year, and he's featured phenomenal guests like Seth Godin, Gary Vaynerchuk, Tim Ferriss, which is another, you know, New York Times bestselling author. That's just some. He's got over 200 more. And so, John, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Dave, I'm stoked to be here. I'm going to light this place on fire.
Fire! So, before there was an Entrepreneur on Fire, there was now, I guess we should answer that question because I'm confused. I was raised by Van Halen. So there was a David Lee. Do you go by John, or is it John Lee, or does it matter?
So, unfortunately for me, like 10 years preceding my age, so this guy's like 45 years old, right, is John Dumas. And he's just dominated the online ways with johndumas.com, Twitter name at John Dumas. And he's a wind flute player. So I said, you know what? This guy, he took all the John Dumases, so I have to figure out a different way to distinguish myself. Let's toss in my middle name, John Lee Dumas. And I've just kind of gone forward with it. But I answer to both, Dave.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, tell us about John or John Lee, either one. What were you like before Entrepreneur on Fire?
Well, to give you the quick rundown, I'm literally just a country boy from Maine. Grew up for the first 18 years of my life in southern Maine. I went to college on an ROTC scholarship, so I spent 4 years training as a cadet and just living the life of a college student. And then back in 2002, I was 22 years old. I graduated, was commissioned as a second lieutenant. And for those of you that can remember the exact day where you were on 9/11, 2001, well, I was a senior in college, which meant that I was the first graduating class of cadets to be commissioned as officers in the U.S. Army post 9/11. So we knew that it was going to be a serious 4 years. And sure enough, a year after I was commissioned, I was in Iraq for 13 months as an armor platoon leader, which basically means I was in charge of 4 tanks and 16 men. And we spent those 13 months in Fallujah, Ramadi, and Habaniya, three pretty hot spots for those that can remember the 2003-2004 timeframes. And I got back unscathed and spent the next couple of years winding down my active military experience. And then in 2006, I entered the reserves as a captain in the U.S. Army, which basically meant I was on my own. So I tried a bunch of different stuff, law school, corporate finance, commercial real estate, a tech startup. And I spent 6 years just trying to find my passion, trying to find myself. And finally, it wasn't happening. But in June of 2012, I had my own little aha moment that I talk about so often on my show, Entrepreneur on Fire. And that was the day that Entrepreneur on Fire was born. So, Dave, we're talking on just about the 1 year anniversary of my aha moment for Entrepreneur on Fire.
That is amazing because you've covered so much ground in such a short period of time. That is truly, I know you're all about inspiring and you have nailed that from somebody looking outside. I'm like, wow, that is a lot of content in just a little bit over a year. I want to ask one question about your time in Iraq. Just number one, thank you for your service.
Welcome.
But I'm going to take one of your questions because you always say, give us one lesson that you pulled away from an experience.
Ooh.
Is there one lesson? I know that's a tough one because I mean
I learned a great lesson, Dave. I really did. So I won't get too graphic here, but we were in Fallujah. It was during a firefight, so we were being shot at. We were shooting at people. I mean, it was definitely one of those scenes you see from like Saving Private Ryan.
Just right there, I want to stop that. Remember how I said a couple weeks ago, always know your audience. Because I was like, thinking back of this, I'm like going, this could have been a really bad question to ask if this brought up, you know what I mean? I was like, wow. So I was really nervous. If you actually go back and listen, that's why I'm like, I kind of like, was really kind of nervous about asking this question, but I knew there was going to be a great answer. And here it is.
In a sense. And I was that platoon leader. I was having to make a decision. I was 23 years old, though, so I was having a hard time making a decision right on the spot because I wanted to make that George Patton decision, that great decision that was going to win the battle. And my platoon sergeant, this 37-year-old who I thought was old at the time, now I'm almost 37, but you know, for a 23-year-old, right. I thought he was old. And he grabs me and he goes, "Lieutenant, a good decision now is better than a great decision later, because we might not be around later." And I was like, whoa, that's a pretty good point. Let me just make a good decision and not worry about making that great decision. And I mean, that applies so well for entrepreneurs and small business owners, because if you wait around to make that great decision, you may never have the opportunity to make that great decision. You just need to make a good decision, the best that you can at this moment, get it out there, get feedback, and pivot. And so that's what I learned as a lieutenant early on in the heat of battle.
Wow. That is amazing and great advice.
Yeah, I thought so. He's a good guy. Sergeant Walker.
Oh, there you go. Great. Now, you mentioned, you said it was what, June 2012 was when you first launched. When did you get the idea for, hey, you know what? I want to start a podcast.
So here I was, I had moved back to Maine after being gone for 13 years, kind of this like triumphant return, like I'm coming back to my home state. I had an amazing job as a commercial real estate broker at the best commercial brokerage firm in the state of Maine. They brought me in, they put me on partnership track. Within 5 years, I was going to be a partner at this firm. And my life was looking pretty good. I was back. I was close to my family. I was close to friends from high school. It was a good time, but I just was not fulfilled in this job. But one thing that this job did really make me do was drive a lot. So I was always in the car. I was driving to work. I was driving to appointments. I was driving back from appointments. I was just always in the car. So I had found out about podcasts about 3 years prior. So I was well versed with them and I was listening to them all the time when I was at the gym, when I was in the car, when I was walking my dog, whenever. I was always listening to podcasts. But then now I was in the car so much, I was consuming so much content, and all of a sudden I ran out. And I was like, my favorite podcasters, I've listened to all their content and they're not coming out with a new podcast for another week. I can't wait that long. What am I going to do? Listen to Miley Cyrus on the radio or something? And so literally I had an aha moment in the car right then. I'm like, there needs to be a daily podcast that interviews inspiring and successful entrepreneurs and shares their journey. It literally hit me like that. And I said, you know what? I'm going to create that. I would love to talk to inspiring entrepreneurs. I would love to talk to successful people and hear them tell their story and have me share that with potentially the world. So I literally drove home, Googled how to podcast. I'm sure I went to your website because it's really high. I went to Cliff Ravenscraft's, couple other ones. And I was like, man, this is possible. You know, I mean, I can do this. And I put my head down, got a mentor, and started cranking. And I literally handed in my notice 2 weeks later. I was gone. I had shocked my firm because they thought I was this next partner. And within 5 years, shocked my parents, shocked my girlfriend. But you know what? Aggressive times call for aggressive actions. And that's what I did.
Awesome. Now, you mentioned your mentor. And what was really kind of neat on your show, I forget Jamie's last name. Help me out.
Tardy.
With that. Jamie Tardy. In episode 150, it was kind of neat. You let one of your listeners kind of turn the table and they interviewed you as kind of a milestone of episode 150. And you said you'd actually, is it okay if I explain, it's out there. You said you paid her $3,000 for 3 months to just kind of mentor you. And she dragged you off to, New Media Expo.
Yeah.
What would you say to the person that goes, well, that's great for him, I don't have $3,000?
Yeah, great question. And, you know, just because you mentioned this once or twice during this interview already, I mean, Dave, I'm an open book. Consider me an open book. I will be transparent with all numbers, all incomes, all monetization, everything. So Jamie Tardy, I reached out to her and I said, listen, Jamie, I know you're a podcaster. You have a great podcast, The Eventual Millionaire. Will you mentor me? Will you coach me? And she's like, yes, John, it's $1,000 a month, minimum 3 months for my coaching students. I said, sign me up for 3 months. Let's do this. And the first thing she did, she dragged me down to New Media Expo. And that was a powerful experience. And I was able to be introduced to the Pat Flynns and the Derek Halperns of the world because of Jamie Tardy. And that hit me the fast forward button. But your direct question was, what if somebody doesn't have $3,000? And so I actually do have a good answer for this because, you know, for me, I was fortunate. I did. So I really did that. And I think a one-on-one coach is a great thing. But one thing that I didn't do was I never actually went out there and found a mastermind. I never found a group of like-minded entrepreneurs that could support me, that could criticize me, that could give me feedback, that could hold me accountable. I never found that. So when I launched my podcast, I had nothing. I had no online support community. I just had Jamie Tardy, who was a great one-on-one coach, but that was just one person. And so it literally took my business model to kick in before I started seeing any significant downloads, and my business model being leveraging the large audiences of my guests. So what I wish I had done, and what people can do that don't have, quote unquote, $1,000-ish a month to go get a one-on-one coach, join a mastermind. I mean, go find a group of like-minded people. You know, go to your niche, go to meetup.com, find local ones in your community. You know, for me, I've heard this over and over again that my listeners at Entrepreneur on Fire are looking for a community. So I started FireNationElite.com. It's $290 per quarter, which is $97 a month. I thought I was going to start with like 20 or 30 people, Dave, but I had 140 plus applications. And I say plus because they keep coming in every day. And so I've bumped that up to what I'm calling the founding 50. And this is exactly what it's going to be. It's going to be a huge mastermind of like-minded entrepreneurs just supporting each other and holding each other accountable and, again, committing to each other's success. That's the touchstone of Fire Nation Elite. That's what I'm creating. And it's a lot less than $1,000 a month. But for other people, you can go out and create your own mastermind or find your own niche and find masterminds within there. And that's definitely a way to get the jumpstart going without that one-on-one really expensive coach.
Right, because you're still getting the feedback. It's just not quite as intimate, but you're still, on the other hand, you're probably making more connections, which might actually lead to more networking and other opportunities and things like that. That's a great idea.
Well, you nailed it, because like, for instance, in Fire Nation Elite, and I'm sure in most masterminds, we have designers, coders, e-commerce experts, we have brick and mortar businesses. So anybody that has questions can rely on these different niches. Everybody also has direct email access to me. So I'm a coach in a way, not a one-on-one like Skype coach, but I am there to answer questions and interact with the community. But that's a great way. You find your mastermind, and people within that mastermind will have different skills that you can utilize for yourself and, again, and give your skills to it.
Now, when you started the podcast, I mean, obviously now you're launching this Fire Nation Elite. Have you always thought of this when you started it? Hey, this is going to be a business, or was it just, I want to interview some cool people? Or what was the actual, you know, when you first started, what did you see this doing?
I knew it was always going to be a business, Dave. I didn't really know how monetization was going to happen. And I was fortunate because I did have a decently long runway, not a significant one. I mean, I knew at some point I had to start turning a profit of some kind, but I did have a buffer because I had really set myself up with a savings and with just living really below my means and not really having a lavish lifestyle. So I knew I had a certain time frame. And so when I first launched, it was solely with the focus of growing my audience to as large and as interacted and engaged as possible, because I wanted to inspire millions. That's been the tagline of Entrepreneur on Fire from day one, is inspiring millions. And that's literally my goal. And I think it was a Jim Rohn or a Zig Ziglar quote where he says, "And if you want to get everything you want in life, you just have to help enough other people get what they want in life." And I really take that to heart. And I believe with Entrepreneur on Fire, if I can inspire enough people through my podcast by sharing the journeys and the failures and the successes and the aha moments and the life lessons of other successful entrepreneurs, then that will all come back. And, you know, within about 6 months of launching, actually more like 4.5, 5 months, I really started seeing the fruits of that labor.
And yeah, your numbers are very impressive. I keep reading different ones. I've read on one page it was 100,000 a month, and then I saw another one it was 200,000 downloads a month.
Yeah, what they keep growing. So yeah. The month of May, I can give you exact numbers. The month of May was 267,000 unique downloads in 145 countries. It looks like for June, we still have a few days left. It looks like we're going to break 300,000 unique downloads for June. So the numbers just kind of keep snowballing as every single day, the business model of Entrepreneur on Fire is, hey, Seth Godin, your podcast just went live. You shared an amazing journey. Would you mind sharing this journey with your audience? And then that's happening 7 days a week. A new entrepreneur is sharing their journey that they shared on Entrepreneur on Fire with their audience, getting a whole new set of eyeballs, and a certain proportion of those people are becoming Entrepreneur on Fire subscribers.
You're the number one podcast for business in iTunes, correct?
Yeah, consistently top five. Like, I think if you logged in this morning, I was number two. I think, you know, maybe like an hour ago, I was number four. So it always fluctuates. Usually Dave Ramsey is pretty stuck in number one.
Yeah,
I've dethroned him a couple times.
Awesome.
And I will say something I'd like to share with you. I actually haven't even had the opportunity to share with Fire Nation yet.
I want to stop it right there. That is the coolest part. This is something that jumped out at me because you're going to hear him in a second. Talk about how you have to think about your avatar. In other words, you have to think about your listener. Like right now, I'm thinking about you. And the person that's listening to this interview going, okay, Dave, what do you mean? He thinks about his audience as a person. And we talk about this throughout the interview, that it is about making a personal connection. And the way, I love that sentence, I haven't even told Fire Nation yet. He says that in my head, the same way you would say, I haven't told Chuck yet. I haven't told Susie yet. He said, hold on. You know what? I haven't even told Fire Nation. And that to me was like, wow, here's a guy that really thinks about his audience as in a personal manner. He didn't say, I haven't told the Fire Nation yet. He said, I haven't told Fire Nation yet. Let me play that again. And to me, that's it. I mean, I think about, you know, like you're sitting right across the table from me right now. And I'm like, hey, listen to this. Check this out. So I'm going to play that part again. We'll rewind here. And
it always fluctuates. Usually Dave Ramsey is pretty stuck in number one.
Yeah,
I've dethroned him a couple times.
Awesome.
And I will say something I'd like to share with you. I actually haven't even had the opportunity to share with Fire Nation yet.
See?
But I was just contacted by Apple, and they're going to feature Entrepreneur on Fire on the homepage of iTunes for 2 weeks in July, which I don't even know what's going to happen with that, but it's going to be unbelievable because that gets 45 million views a month. And Entrepreneur on Fire is going to be one of those five podcasts featured at the top of the homepage.
That's very cool. So that's not new and noteworthy. That's the thing at the top with the big pictures.
Exactly. That's on the actual podcasting homepage. So not even the business homepage. It's the actual podcast homepage. There's like five rotating big images. New and noteworthy for your listeners, that's only for people that have been with a podcast within 8 weeks of launch. After you're 8 weeks old and plus, you're no longer able to be a new and noteworthy. That's why Apple or iTunes specifically does a great job giving new podcasters this great showcasing opportunity, because I'm always in the quote unquote what's hot section, but that's below even the new and noteworthy section. So the best real estate in the podcasting world, really, besides that iTunes homepage feature, which is, you know, the big five features, is that iTunes new and noteworthy. So I commend iTunes for the vision of doing that.
Very cool. Do you have any plans of launching a second podcast? And if you do, would you do anything differently?
You know, actually, this is very interesting. I've now launched five podcasts. They're all in iTunes. Actually, four of them are live in iTunes. And the fifth, I just submitted the RSS feed to today. So the fifth one that I just submitted, I'm really excited about, because I just brought on a full-time director of content creation for Entrepreneur on Fire. So she's writing a daily blog on my site. She's an amazing writer, amazing entrepreneur. And so every single day she's coming out with a new incredible blog at entrepreneuronfire.com that's coupled with my show notes page for my podcast. So if you go, for instance, today, you'll see a podcast show notes page and you'll see a blog post, specified for entrepreneurs. So what I'm actually doing with my latest podcast is called the Entrepreneur on Fire Daily Audio Blog. And that's literally just going to be me reading her blog posts, which are normally between 500 to 800 words. And that's just to kind of, you know, get a lot. Some people like to read, some people like to consume via audio. So that will be another podcast with the Entrepreneur on Fire tagline that'll be out there.
Very cool. Yeah, I always tell people, you know, I love your blog. I just can't, read it while I'm driving on the way to work.
Exactly.
But I could, you know, but I could if it was a podcast. It's interesting about your podcast. Number one, I got to tell you this. I thought about this today because I've been catching up on the back episodes. Is I always feel good after listening to your podcast.
Like, I've never listened to it and thought, like, your content doesn't make me grumpy. It doesn't make me frustrated. It's you want it to be inspiring. I just want to let you know you're doing a really good job at that, because I always get done listening to an episode of that and going, ooh, you know what? I didn't think of it this way. I should try this or that. So
cool.
You are right on track with shooting for what you're hitting what you're aiming at. And one of the things I think it's interesting, you kind of ask the same questions. You kind of have a set 5 or 6 that you ask every single
guest. Oh, that's fair. More than kind of. It's pretty much exact.
Okay. Well,
you're trying to be nice, Dave. Don't be nice.
Well, what was the thought process of that?
So one thing that I'd like to share with the listeners is that whenever you're thinking about creating a podcast or a blog or anything, a product or a service, the first and foremost thing you really need to do is define your avatar. Who do you really want to speak to? Like, literally create that person. Give them a name. Give her a name. Give her attributes. And so then whenever you are creating something, make sure you're speaking to that avatar. That's so key. And so few people do that. So they lose focus and they lose drive. So for me, I was very fortunate. I was my own avatar because I knew that I wanted a daily podcast. I wanted fresh content. And I knew that I wanted to listen to the journey of successful and inspiring entrepreneurs and hear a failure story. I wanted to hear an aha moment story. That I wanted to hear what excited them now. And I wanted to get a great lightning round of questions at the end with some great resources and book recommendations, etc. So I knew that's what I wanted. So when I set out to create Entrepreneur on Fire, I knew that every single time I went through and asked the very same questions, tell us about a failure, tell us about an aha moment, I was going to get very different answers because I make my guests tell a direct story. And no two people have the exact same failure story, because I'm talking about ground level. Like, I was in Ohio walking along the Mississippi. I don't even know if the Mississippi's in Ohio, but that's an example. And so that was my focus. And that's what I really wanted to have. That's what I wanted. And I knew that my avatar, which was me, my time was very valuable. So when I press the play button, I want to know about what I'm going to get. I want to know that the content that's coming, that I'm going to get it, that I understand the flow, and that I know it's going to be worth my time. Because there's some podcasts out there and they resonate with some people, and that's great. You press the play button, you have no idea where that podcast is going to go on any given Sunday. And that a lot of people resonate with that, and that is great. But for me, I knew that I wanted to know about what I was going to be getting and at least understand what the flow was going to be. So that's the basis behind the format of Entrepreneur on Fire. And so far, so good.
Well, actually, here's the interesting thing. Your podcast is both, because I know what questions you're going to ask, but I've now found out after listening to many different people from different walks, they're all entrepreneurs, but different products and different services. I never know what I'm going to get in terms of, oh, this person did this, or this was this person's failure, this was their aha moment. So I know what's coming, but I always get a completely different answer. So it's a little bit of both.
Thanks for the feedback. That's cool.
That's very cool. Now, is there any guest, because you've had some remarkable guests, anybody that you're like, yeah, but I really want to get, you know, this person, anybody on in your target, in your sights?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm going to surprise anybody by saying this, but I would love to get Mark Cuban on the show. It's somebody that, you know, anybody that grew up playing sports, which I did, you know, your dream was, hey, if you can't make the sports team, then you want to buy the sports team and run the sports team. And so here you go. You have this normal guy who just failed at so many things throughout his life. It actually was a total failure at so many things. And then he finally happened upon the perfect product at the perfect time, got out of the perfect time, and made boatloads of money, bought his favorite team, the Dallas Mavericks, and then within 5 years, you know, they had an NBA championship. I mean, that is such like a boyhood dream of mine. And it's so, for that reason, I really would love to have him on the show.
Well, there you go. Well, how have you been getting? I mean, obviously, you've already had a great stable of really well-known, you know, New York Times bestsellers. How are you going about getting these people?
Honestly, at this point, when I was fortunate enough to reach out to Seth Godin and Tim Ferriss when they both had books coming out in January of 2013, and I said, hey guys, John Lee Dumas, Entrepreneur on Fire, we're getting about 100,000 unique downloads a month at this time. I would love for you to share your story on my podcast, and then we'll pitch your book at the end. And that's exactly, it was worth their time to reach that size of an audience. So they did. And then once I had those names, it's almost like, you know, who's going to say, well, it's not worth 20 minutes of my time if it was worth 20 minutes of Seth Godin or Tim Ferriss's time. So it's just kind of was really chopping down those tall sequoias and then using them as a platform.
Very cool. And that is, I think that's like the third or fourth time I've heard that. If you can catch people when they're looking for publicity, you're much more likely to,
totally.
To get them up there. So,
they were making the rounds. Yeah. They were making the rounds.
Well, and a fun tip is you can go to Amazon and, you know, they have like, let's say you go to whatever, science fiction. I believe there's an RSS feed for the new releases in that genre.
Ooh.
So you could throw that into like Feedly or whatever you're using and see, instead of having to go out and always check, hey, what new books are in my genre or whatever, you could just have it come right to your RSS reader and go, ooh, this looks really cool. And then now it's off to the publisher or whoever to say, I would like to interview that person. So that's I know it used to be. I haven't used that trick in a while, but
no wonder why you have so many listeners. That's a great tip. I'm writing that down too.
Well, there you go. Thank you. Well, let's talk a little bit about monetization.
Sure.
Obviously, you said you started this off as a business. When did monetization come into play? And was there a certain size of audience that you kind of had to have before you even kind of sniffed that idea?
So I started monetizing on small levels pretty early, and that was mostly through affiliates. So I had like Bluehost affiliate links, or I had like Thesis Theme affiliate links. And so every single time somebody signed up through my Bluehost affiliate link, I'd get $150 here and $150 there. Like it was, you know, incremental, but I mean, you know, every now and then those came in. And so that was kind of how you start, with a business, because you have people that are like, oh, wow, I really like John's podcast. I wonder what he uses for a host provider. And then I would take the time to really focus on that. But as my podcast numbers grew, my listenership grew, then things started really getting interesting. I kind of reached that tipping point on April 1st of 2012 when I started having big time sponsors approach me. And basically they said, hey, John, like, you know, we love to sponsor podcasts. We see that you're obviously a top ranked business podcast. We sponsor podcasts that are ranked both a little bit higher and a little bit lower than you. We're interested in having you and we're interested in sponsoring your show. And, you know, every one of these companies has basically a dedicated podcast, sponsor person. They really take it very seriously, which I was really impressed with. And so Audible, 99 Designs, LegalZoom, Ting, GoToMeeting, Squarespace, those are my six big sponsors that I've had since I've started. And it's been a really great sense. And again, I was straight up at the beginning that I will be very transparent with numbers. And so I'll share with your audience how podcasting monetization really works right now. It's still the Wild West. So, you're kind of making things up as you go.
All right. Get your pens and papers out, because this is some pretty cool stuff.
But pretty much the industry standard is this: $18 per 1,000 downloads for your 15-second pre-roll. And that 15-second pre-roll is just like, hey, this is John. I love Audible. If you go to audiblepodcast.com/fire and grab the Icarus Reception, it'll be free. It's a gift for Fire Nation listeners, blah, blah, blah. That's the 15-second pitch. And then you kick into the podcast. And then you give a 60-second pitch at some point in the middle. And it's called a mid-roll. And you get paid $25 per 1,000 downloads for that. And again, that's just a little bit longer of that 15-second pitch.
Now, if you're keeping track at home, 18 plus 25 is $43 CPM per 1,000 downloads. Not too shabby.
So for me, my specific numbers for Q2 were 8,000 CPMs per episode immediately upon release. So my numbers were all multiplied by 8, which came out to each sponsor was paying me $300 per episode. I was having two sponsors per episode on 92% of my Q2 podcast. So 92% of the time I had two sponsors, and the other 8% I just had one. So I almost had 100% complement for all of Q2. And that was $600 per podcast times 30, because I'm crazy and I do 30 podcasts a month. you know, that's $18,000 at 100%. And I was just below that at 92%. So real money started coming in at that point because I had the audience, I had the sponsors, and they have, you know, they've signed up for now Q3 because they're seeing the results. And now my numbers are higher for Q3 because I have more downloads per episode now. So that numbers are, those numbers are only going up, and Q3 is starting here July 1st.
How cool was that? $18,000. Pretty cool. And here's the phrase I love. All boats rise in high tide. So yeah, it's cool. You might be thinking I'm nowhere near this guy, but that's all right. He can be the lead blocker. He can pave the way, and he can get sponsors that you'll notice are re-signing him. So podcast sponsorship works when you get the right audience with the right product. And who's benefiting? That's right, John Dumas, buddy. And he's, you'll hear here as we go forward, he's going to talk about his schedule. Here's a guy that's busting his butt to make that money by creating phenomenal content.
So that's some real numbers for sponsorships. You know, some other monetization streams. I wrote a book on podcasting, Podcast Launch. It's the number one ranked book in Amazon on podcasting. Has over 100 five-star reviews. It comes with 15 video tutorials. And that's not a major income stream at all. Books never will be, but it's a major brand increasing. I have so many people that buy my book. I have about 10 people that buy my book per day. And a lot of those people have never heard of Entrepreneur on Fire before. And so that's really spreading my brands. And so that's a lot of fun. And then I briefly mentioned Fire Nation Elite. You know, that's $290 per quarter. So about $100 per month, I have 50 members. You know, that's $5,000 per month. You know, I'm looking to add potentially 20 to 25 people per month going forward until I reach, a number that I want to slow down at, because I want to grow slowly and organically. But, you know, then you're going to be soon talking about five figures a month for Fire Nation Elite as well. So basically, Dave, the synopsis is once you have a large audience, you can really start monetizing in a lot of different ways. I had Pat Flynn reach out to me today, say, John, will you be an affiliate for only $72? And so I created a link, eofireaction.com. I had 50 people sign up through that link, you know, because I shared it with my audience. And, you know, so that's an immediate income stream. And then I'm creating a product, six-figure podcasting, about how I took Entrepreneur on Fire from nothing to six figures in 6 months. And that's going to be another. So there's so many different ways that you can monetize a podcast. And what's great, Dave,
let's hold that thought. Notice what he's doing. He took the time, he built an audience, and that then provided him influence. And it's the influence, so that when he can mention a single product and have 50 people sign up, that is influence. That's influence. And that's what he has. And he's not, the other thing you'll notice here is you'll hear him talk about building Fire Nation Elite, that he doesn't want to grow it in giant leaps and bounds. He wants to make sure he doesn't make any mistakes along the way. So he's making sure to guard his audience. He's making sure to always provide value, to always provide great content, and then just gradually move along.
A podcast, and what's great, Dave, you're a podcaster, I'm a podcaster, that's all I am. I didn't have a pre-existing blog like Chris Brogan. I didn't have, you know, Pat Flynn had this massive audience on Smart Passive Income before he launched his podcast. I just had my podcast. So this is just a great case study on podcasting and what you can do to grow a business and to grow income streams.
Because I know there are a lot of networks now popping up for people to kind of interact with sponsors. Did those come through Libsyn or did those go directly to you?
No, they came directly to me, not through Libsyn whatsoever. They came directly to me, and it was kind of like a monopoly effect where the sponsors that I currently have, they all love sponsoring podcasts. They all get it. They have specified departments for sponsoring podcasts. So, you know, once kind of one goes, it's kind of like they all are like, oh, well, let's check out this podcast. And then, you know, I had my form set up and everything was good to go. So they came to me for that. But I am kind of curious to hear about Libsyn. What's been your side of the story on that?
Well, I just know there are a couple different, there's like PodTrack, there is Libsyn, Blueberry not so much, but definitely PodTrack and Libsyn. I believe they're looking for people that are getting about 20,000 unique downloads per episode. Now, what I mean there when I say Blueberry not so much, Blueberry will help you find sponsors.
What I meant is Blueberry does not require that you have 20,000 downloads per episode. So when I say Blueberry, not so much, that's what I mean by that.
Right. Now,
so
I'm not there yet.
Yeah, that seems to be the magic number. I know Earwolf is a network for comedians. And in their example, they say if you're getting 20,000, it seems to be the magic number. And
yep. Like, for instance, I had Hulu Plus contact me. Mm-hmm. But they said once they found out I was only at 8,000, they said they're looking for shows 30,000 and above. So I think that's right. Like the 20,000, 30,000 mark, that's when people start becoming interested.
With your new kind of membership, your
Fire Nation Elite.
Yeah, I was going to call it brainstorming, but that's not.
Oh, yeah.
It's a
Mastermind.
Thank you. What are you using for technology for that? If somebody goes, ooh, you know what? I'd like to create my own little group. What are you using for like the membership area of that?
Yeah, great advice. And you know, this is really going to excite some people because of how low techy it is. I literally went on a 3-day retreat with a guy called Ryan Lee. He's a great internet marketer who I really respect. I love his emails and he's such a nice guy. Like I got to know him as a person. It was a seven person 3-day retreat. So it was just 8 of us total, including Ryan Lee. And he revealed how he runs his mastermind, which again is like almost embarrassingly simple. And this is it, literally a private Facebook group for Fire Nation Elite. Now, why do you use a Facebook group? Because everybody is on Facebook every single day already. So why not already be where people are? And then when there's a notification that you tag somebody in a post, they're going to be notified that little red circle up at the top corner that they're being talked about in your private group. They're going to go join the discussion. He said that his interactions increased 20-fold when he moved his group from a website sign-in. People had to go sign in, look at the forum, see if anybody was talking about them. Maybe they were, maybe they weren't. To Facebook. He said he couldn't believe it. It was a game changer. So a private Facebook group where there's going to be some incredible interactions done, where people are going to be asking questions, answering questions, giving links where they need people to support them by rating a podcast or adding a comment to a blog, whatever it may be, it's all going to happen in the Facebook group. That's it. That's the technology. We're going to have a monthly webinar on Google Hangouts, which is free. I'm going to have an annual meetup out here in San Diego, which is going to be a blast. They're going to have private email access to me. But that's it, Dave.
Gotta love that.
It's pretty darn easy.
And you can't beat the price.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, you've mentioned all this stuff now that's going on. I mean, you've got this big mastermind going on. You're working on another book and another product. How do you find the balance?
It's tough. I don't have a great balance right now. I'll be the first to admit it. And my live-in girlfriend here joined me 4 months ago. She's the person who's the director of content creation. I might not have mentioned that earlier, but she's taken on that role and she's been great. And we work. I mean, we just work. And, you know, sometimes it's 8 p.m. before, you know, we're shutting it down to catch a movie or a TV show and then hit the sack. And at 6 a.m., it starts all over again. But we both love it. You know, we both are big into exercising, so we make sure to carve out that 45 minutes to an hour every day to exercise, so we're not slacking there. But I'll tell you, man, I love it. I love Entrepreneur on Fire. I'm living in it. I'm breathing in it. And, you know, at some point, I'm going to have to kind of ease off the pedal, but, you know, no kids right now, just a great spot here in San Diego, right near the ocean where I can get out and go for a walk when I need to clear my head. But it's the business, man, and I love it.
Well, I know when you interviewed me, I think you said I was your 9th interview of the day. Can you kind of peel back the curtain and give us like what's a day in the life of John like?
Wow. Well, I can tell you, like, let's just go through the week in my life because okay. I'll pull up my calendar right now and it's really interesting. So
here again, this is what's so cool about John. You ask him for a day, he gives you a week.
On Monday, I had 8 interviews. Back to back to back to back to back to back. Every single hour for 8 straight hours, I had 8 interviews. And I do that every single Monday, Dave. And I know you know this, but I'll share this with your listeners, is that I batch all of my interviews. So I had 8 interviews for Entrepreneur on Fire all on Monday. When I was finished, I did all of the editing. I was up till midnight and I woke up Tuesday morning and I was done for the week of Entrepreneur on Fire stuff as far as the actual podcasts themselves. Tuesday was a wide open day for me. I worked on Fire Nation Elite. I worked on a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Wednesday was wide open for me too. I went and met Ian for dinner. Ian of Dan and Ian, the Lifestyle Business Podcast, the Tropical MBA guys. Really cool dude. Met him and his girlfriend. We had a great night of dinner. Today is my Thursdays, which are also crazy. I have interviews on other people's shows. I had an 8, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, and then I have a 7 right after this in 20 minutes. That's my Thursdays, because I only will do interviews on other people's shows on Thursdays, because otherwise it just ate my entire week up. So I just give people a link that they can fill in. And this is actually a non-approved interview time, Dave, is 6 p.m. But I like you so much that I opened this time up for you. And I'm happy that I did. Tomorrow, I literally every half an hour, starting at 9, 9:30, 10, 10:30, all the way to 5, I have Fire Nation Elite interviews. Because I am talking to every single person that's applied to Fire Nation Elite. We're having a 15-minute chat with every single person.
Okay, and I just want to stop it there, because here again, somebody that is successful, somebody who has integrity. Why? Because everybody on his show, myself included, talks about how building your audience, unfortunately, you're going to do it one person at a time. You're going to make that person go from a listener to a disciple. And they're going to go out and tell, oh my gosh, have you heard this podcast? And how do you do that? By interacting with each person. Now, it's great when you can go to a convention and you can go to a meetup like he talked about, a mastermind and things like that. But in the end, John lives and breathes. He's not a guy that says one thing and does another. He's doing it personally. He's making a personal connection. And that to me was like, wow, this is a guy that lives it, breathes it, talks it, and does it.
Where they're telling me about themselves, they're giving me, you know, what their biggest pain point is that I'm sharing with them, Fire Nation Elite. Now, these people tomorrow, there are 16 of them, they're all best case scenario going on the wait list, because we're already shut down for Fire Nation Elite. On August 1st, we'll bring in another class. And then September 1st, we'll bring in another class. And to be honest with you, just to finish the week out, on Saturday, I have 8 more starting in the morning as well, Fire Nation Elite chats that I cut off at 2 p.m. because then I'm driving up to Orange County to visit my cousin and his wife and my uncle and aunt who flew out from the East Coast. So that's a week in the life of me. Oh yeah, and then Sunday, I'm spending the entire day, Dave, doing 18 Entrepreneur Fire interviews, splicing in my intros, my sponsorships, and then uploading them, exporting that MP3, uploading it to Libsyn, and scheduling their release from July 1st to July 18th. So that's on Sunday.
Wow.
That's my week.
And sleep is just, you'll do that later.
I mean, I get a lot of sleep, to be honest with you. I'm conked out by 11 p.m. and I'm up at 6 a.m. I mean, that's 7 hours. That's beautiful. That's all I need.
And the one thing he did mention there, he had Tuesday and Wednesday wide open. So he's not 24/7, 7 days a week, going crazy, you know, pedal to the metal. He has a couple days in there for flexibility and to probably just decompress a little bit.
Wow. I'm tired just listening to that. I realize you got to go here shortly, so I definitely want to give you a chance to plug. We've talked about Fire Nation. So that sounds like it's ongoing, but at this point it's kind of closed.
Well, Fire Nation Elite, is only accepting people that are willing to be on a wait list, because I really wanted to start with an organic number, and I just came to the number 50. I thought that it was reasonable. I thought that we can really grow slowly and organically from there to make sure we're having an amazing experience from day one, instead of just starting too big. To me, just wasn't appealing.
Did you hear that? He's more worried about the end user's experience. He's willing to start slow for the audience. Love it.
Because this is, to me, a long game. I'm looking long term with this. And I see, you know, hopefully someday thousands of people within Fire Nation Elite literally able to move mountains.
You mentioned some things coming in the future. So I'll tell you what, I'm just going to be quiet. And you just plug away anything you want to talk about, where people can find you, what products you got, what products are coming, and don't hold back. Just go to town and plug.
Well, I'm just going to make this simple. I mean, if you're interested in learning more about podcasting, for $5, I do have a great book, Podcast Launch. If you're interested in listening to my podcast, just type it in any of the directories, Stitcher or iTunes, Entrepreneur on Fire. If you want to check out my daily blogs or my podcast on my website, go to eofire.com. That's it, baby.
There you go.
Oh, and one more thing, FireNationElite.com. You'll see me do a great dance to the Beatles song, Twist and Shout.
There you go. Well, thank you so much, man, for your time. I realize, obviously, after explaining what your week is like, that is a, you know, that's a commodity, you know, to grab your minutes here. So I really do deeply appreciate you coming on the show. I am a subscriber. Ooh. I really like your podcast, man. I've been checking them out and going back. And I always tell people, when you find a podcast that you like, your audience will go and download the back catalog. And I am living proof of that.
Yes. Well, even if you don't want to listen to them, just keep downloading them.
Yeah. All right, my man. Well, thank you so much for coming on. And
Dave, thank you, man. I really enjoy the opportunity to speak to your audience. And it's just a wonderful chat.
And there you have it. Wow. And by that, I mean, wow. EOFire.com is where you can find John. Here's what I loved about that. Let's take a second and think about what we've learned from this. He wanted to create a podcast for himself. It really didn't exist. And I didn't ask him this question, but I'm pretty sure if you asked John, why did you start this podcast? He would say, I want to inspire people. And if you look at this, I always tell people you need to figure out the why. Number one, because I always say if you can't figure out the why, you'll never make it through the how. But also, it's that why that steers the ship. All of his content has one direction, and that is to inspire. So he followed his passion. He always treated his podcast like a business, and he found a mentor who had connections. He started off his monetization, not with sponsors, but with affiliates, right? And then gradually, as the audience grew, then the sponsorship came. Now, if you want to learn about monetization in your podcast, check out my book, More Podcast Money. Over time, he has earned the trust of his audience. They trust that he's going to bring good content. And with that, he then built up his influence, which he is now using for monetization. He's actually connecting with his audience one person at a time. The other thing that he does is he does inject his personality into his podcast. As much as it's the same questions all the time, he goes left of center and right of center and throws in his personality when he does his commercials. And the other thing, a great thing about his commercials for his sponsors, he knows that they're paying for a 15-second spot. They get a 15-second spot. There's none of this, well, they paid for 15, but I'm going to give them a minute and a half. No, he hits the bullet points. He gets in, he gets out, and gets back to the content. And the other thing that I was impressed with is he's more interested in his customer's experience than growing his business quickly. Because he realizes in the long haul, that's not going to work. And the other thing that I really liked about this, here's a guy really, top 10 in business, making a decent, nice, yeah, okay, I would not mind his paycheck, right? And not really a bragging bone in his body. He just provided facts. Here's this, here's that, here's that. It wasn't like, oh yeah, Just very, to me, I didn't see that as bragging. He was just peeling back the curtain and then peeling back the curtain inside the curtain and the curtain inside of the curtain that was inside of the curtain. Wow. Cool stuff. And it started with his podcast. That's the other thing. Do you realize when John started off, he had as many listeners as you do when you start off. That would be zero. And he worked his butt off for a year. He has his schedule, sticks to it, and look at him a year later. Amazing. And if you want to start a podcast, if you're looking for a mentor to kind of help you through this process,
I've got step-by-step tutorials. I've got resources. And I always tell people, and you got little old me, and I will answer any questions you have. I had somebody today that said, hey, I got my my mixer and my microphone and stuff, and it was so cool to go, here, watch this video. And if there are any questions after that, email me. And I haven't got an email. And that seems to be the case most of the time. I've got the video that will answer your questions. You know, Dave, how do I do this in WordPress? Here's the video. And launch a successful podcast. That's what I'm here for. That's my passion. You know, John's passion is to inspire. My passion is to teach. And to my, there's nothing to me more satisfying than when I have somebody that goes, I am not a podcaster. I don't know. I would love to start a podcast. I'd love to reach a global audience, but you don't understand. I don't know anything about computers. And, you know, a month later they go, hey, Dave, I'm in New and Noteworthy. It's amazing. That to me, wow. That's worth, you know, as the old commercial goes, that's priceless. Right? So hit me up. I would love to help you. Got a couple quick specials for you here. If you don't have a website at all, nothing, send me an email with the phrase quick start in the subject line. And basically, here's how it works. I send you a link for hosting. It's the same hosting that I use at the School of Podcasting. I've been using for almost 20 years. And I'll earn a commission from that. Now, with that commission, I'll give you a free month at the School of Podcasting so you can watch all the tutorials about building your website. And meanwhile, I'll go over and actually build your website. And I will add all the plugins, things like that. I'll install WordPress. I'll install all the plugins. Obviously, you're going to need to add the graphics and the content. And I've got resources for all that. And again, you'll get a free month to pick up where I leave off and run with it. And all you have to do is spend, what is it, $8 for the first month of hosting? It's awesome. Now, if you go, but Dave, I already have a website, don't really need the quick start thing, then use the coupon code LISTENER, LISTENER, and you can get a big discount off that first month at the School of Podcasting, and I will see you on the inside. So, looking forward to that, and if you have any questions, my email is dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. In the future, next week, going to be talking with Jim Collison about podcast evangelism, about information. We always talk about knowing your audience, some of the things you can learn from Google Analytics. Yeah, that's going to be coming up in the future, as well as we will be talking about putting together a media kit for your podcast. That'll be coming up in future episodes. And anything else you would like to talk about, you can call in your comments. It's 888-563-3228. You can leave a comment out at our website. There's a little voicemail button on the left-hand side. You can also just leave a comment if you're more of a typer on the show notes. And again, go out to schoolofpodcasting.com/362. So we will see you next week. Until then, class dismissed. See you on the inside. God bless.